This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Malaysia has found itself in a rather interesting position this week. On Saturday, Cambodian opposition leader Sam Ranzi arrived in Malaysia. Ranzi is the co-founder of the Cambodian National Rescue Party, or the CNRP, and a colleague of Muso Chua, who was herself briefly detained by Malaysian authorities before being released last week.
Now, Ranzi has been living in exile since 2015. Now, the two are accused by the Cambodian government of attempting to topple President Hun Sen's administration, and Cambodian authorities have been seeking assistance from neighbouring countries to prevent their return to Cambodia.
So for a better understanding of how these kinds of requests are handled in the ASEAN context, we turn this morning to Oh Ee Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute for International Studies. Thank you for joining us, Ee Sun. Now, how do ASEAN countries typically deal with requests concerning political opposition from each other? How does the principle of non-interference come into play here?
Well, it depends. Most Asian countries, they have this mutual legal assistance treaties, which essentially are extradition request type of treaties. So for example, like in this case, at probably Cambodia's request, the Malaysian authorities temporarily detained the Cambodian opposition figure. Then you ask the Cambodian authorities, right? So what do you want us to do with him or her? Then the Cambodian authorities, they will say, oh, just make sure they don't come back to Cambodia. Well, that's why we are deporting her to, let's say, a third country, probably, I would guess, a Western country, right? Now, but sometimes there are other circumstances which we will perhaps discuss later. Yeah.
But last week, you know, there was some uproar when Malaysia did exactly that. They detained Muso Chua upon her arrival. So what's your read on Malaysia's decision to then subsequently release her, with our own Prime Minister saying that she could be headed for a third country deportation?
Well, frankly speaking, this sort of uproar domestically in Malaysia, I think it's rather confined to, let's say, the urban, more progressive, more democratically inspired elites. It doesn't sort of permeate, let's say, to the rural area of this country. And that's because, well, the political maturity, let's say, in KL and the surrounding areas, Penang and so on, are much higher. And therefore, people feel like, oh, this guy, sorry, this lady, it's a democratic struggle type of figure in Cambodia, and we are detaining it at the request of a rather autocratic or increasingly autocratic regime in Cambodia. It's not right, and so on. So, but I think the ultimate decision factor is still Malaysia would have at some point asked the Cambodian authority. If the Cambodian authority says, no, extradite her back to Cambodia, we're going to jail her and so on, I don't think, even though we have a new democratic government, I don't think this government would actually refuse that request. Mm. I think they would just send the lady back.
And that comes into my next question, because I wanted to ask, if there's been a difference in the way you perceive the Pakatan Harapan and the Barisan National governments would have dealt with these requests in your observation so far?
Well, actually, if you take a closer look at the foreign policy in general of this government versus the previous government, they look remarkably similar, right? For example, this emphasis on solidarity of third world country, non-interference in each other's affairs, and so on. I was going to mention, for example, another extradition request by a country outside of ASEAN. Because of domestic, I would say domestic, quote-unquote, convenience, we did not extradite that person back to the request country, for example.
So what are the factors that the Malaysian government actually does take into consideration when deciding on these type of requests? What drives them?
I actually suspect that the main driving force or the driver would actually be, as I said, domestic convenience and especially domestic political convenience. In the case, in the other case, which shall not be named for I don't want to get into a legal hassle, and so I don't have a lot of money to hire lawyers, and you probably would hire for me. So, but just to put this, because that person in question, he enjoys considerable support in this country. So our local politicians here from the previous regime as well as the current government, they feated him like he is the supreme honor, guest of honor or something like that. So they are not going to extradite him to back to his home country. You see, like the, ministers from previous regime would entertain him in office with Gui Moy and so on. The current government's minister even had a breakfast with him at the minister's home and so on. So, they all want to co-opt his support and thereby increase the political support. So they're not going to extradite him. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Ihsan, for your insight this morning. That was Oh Ihsan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute for International Affairs. Now, I wonder who on earth he could be referring to there when he talks about his other example of a deportation. But he does make a case here for domestic convenience, right? Because this is something that no matter what we say about new governments being different, at the end of the day, sometimes it just boils down to politics, right? And so we have seen, since this uproar over the Cambodian issue, we have seen our foreign minister, Dato' Saifuddin Abdullah, also come out to sort of try and manage the situation, saying that, Musuthra wasn't actually detained, she just underwent a normal examination. But she herself was tweeting and said that the police did ask her, how did people find out about your case so fast? You know, who did you call? She called the Human Rights Watch and she called the Malaysian Human Rights Commission. That's how people found out.
Yeah, so are we just giving some sort of lip service to this human rights and freedom of speech? I mean, and it's kind of ironic because we ourselves, the Malaysian government, the Pakatan Harapan government, is a new government, right? Mm-hmm. It was in opposition not too long ago and did complain about all these issues, but we'll see.
At the end of the day, you know, the past is the past, right? And now they have to look forward to maintaining their relations with Cambodia. So I guess at the end of the day, it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.